Lord, hear and Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and we do not make requests because we're righteous, but because of your great mercy. We do not make requests because we're righteous, but because of your great mercy. For your sake, Lord, don't delay, save your city. Look with favor, see your people who bear your name. Hear our prayers and our petitions, Lord, hear our cry. Hear our prayers and our petitions, Lord, hear our cry. We do not make requests because we're righteous, but because of your great mercy. We do not make requests because we're righteous, but because of your great mercy. For your sake, Lord, look with favor upon your sanctuary. Give ear and ear, see our desolation. We bear your name. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and we do not make requests because we're righteous, but because of your great mercy. We do not make requests because we're righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and
Well, welcome to the Pro-Life Team podcast. I'm Jacob, and today I'm with Faye. Faye, would you introduce yourself and how you got started in this pro-life work?
Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. Appreciate it. I'm Faye Barnhart. And actually, what started was a really strange prayer that a lady prayed in church. And I had no idea what she was talking about. And so I asked her afterwards, and that's when I became aware of the issue. I was actually pregnant with my first baby, and the church, I guess, kind of restricted what she could pray, but she explained to me afterwards. And then Oh my goodness. And I noticed there was a nurse in our church that was just laughing and bragging about how they would just put babies in the utility closets and allow them to die of the elements of the cold and starvation if it was a teen or if it was someone who didn't even know they were pregnant. And I was like, oh my goodness. And this person is here with my little baby in this nursery. And then, you know, it was really sad because that church was so biblically based. It was such a good church. I learned so much there. But shortly after that, grew one of the largest abortion death clinics, actually, I think, in the nation. It's where Abby Johnson would end up participating in the deaths of thousands of children in that community from Christian parents. And so it was the church's silence. So that kind of started. I moved to another community of a larger city where I started advocating and helping women walk through overwhelming challenges while pregnant and speaking out in the community and just saw God work wonderfully. I ended up actually volunteering or serving on staff for 4 pregnancy centers in 2 states. Ended up being the CEO of one of the largest geographical pregnancy centers in the nation here in Colorado, and grew to 5 centers, had more than a 90% success rate choosing life, even without ultrasound, and trained hundreds of people, hundreds of volunteers, and just saw God work there. And then felt called into putting forward a life initiative in Colorado. And so that's what I've been doing, where we're praying, informing, and trying to put compassion into law in the state of Colorado.
Wow. What a good beginning and work that God's called you into. So Faye, tell me a story about where you've seen God's fingerprints in this journey, both getting started and more recent, perhaps.
Oh my goodness, all over the place. What got me really hooked on pregnancy center work to begin with was, I remember one morning I just didn't want to go in at all. And, you know, it's a lot of prayer work. It's a lot of really active listening. It's a lot of work. And that day, 4 women actually accepted Christ into their life. And then one of the ladies, I didn't know what was going to happen. She had driven in from a long ways because she wanted so much anonymity. I didn't know her name. I didn't know what would happen. I couldn't follow up with her. I just prayed for her. We prayed for her. And it was quite a while later, I walked into the pregnancy center and the receptionist had a funny look on her face. And she said, "They were just asking about you." Turned around, I recognized her. She was holding a baby with a handsome man by her side. And she said, "I drove back to thank you. This is my husband. We've gotten married. This is our baby." And she put that little baby in my arms. And once that happens, you're just done. You're just done. So God moves. His Holy Spirit is the most important person in that room. He tells you what to say, what to ask. Changes people's lives. And then now here in the state of Colorado, we're speaking life over our state. We're speaking to people, changing the way we talk, being very accurate in what we say, stop using the words like abortion, and no one knows what it means. They're just either for it or against it, but they don't know what it means. And so really talking about protecting these children, these youngest and most vulnerable children. And I'm seeing people's vocabulary change. I'm seeing churches start to come on board. We have more than 300 churches involved. We have thousands of households involved. So I'm really seeing God move in our state, and I'm so thankful. And we're just calling everyone to repent. We've all been involved. We've all been apathetic. We've all participated in some way. We need to repent for ourselves, our family, our churches, our state, and our nation.
Wow. So that's so beautiful in so many ways. One of the things I like to do in this podcast is I like to provide encouragement to pregnancy clinic leadership and teams. And so I'd like you to maybe slow down and really take your time on reflecting on that morning when you didn't want to go to work, but yet God had a harvest ready for you to, you know, to see come in with 4 people accepting Christ. Can you just slow down and pull out, you know, your thoughts and just that, you know, your reflections on that morning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Everything was going wrong. Everything was going wrong. My children were acting up. I have since learned that when the harder it is to do something, more the more important the work is. And so you have to overcome the obstacles, and you just, 90% of ministry, just show up, just show up, just be there and watch God work and let him work. And sometimes it's been to pull not only from that time, but other times. I know one time I was in a room with a woman, and I just started sharing about the grace of Jesus and how he forgives us. You know, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And was sharing that with her. And then all of a sudden she goes, that's it. That's it. She said, last night I was in a hotel room and there was this evangelist or someone on TV, and I really wasn't sure about all this. I didn't understand. And I just said, God, if you're real, would you show me how to know you? And that's what I shared with her the next morning. And her life was transformed radically. I got to see her in a parking lot in another location, in another town. I saw her across a parking lot with her little one-year-old by then. And her face was so bright and she was so happy. She was a whole different person. And to see God move and work in women's lives and even see them when they're trying to overcome just overwhelming challenges while pregnant. Maybe it's been a rape. Maybe it's been partner violence. Maybe they've been given a poor prognosis for their baby, or they think their baby's going to die at birth. There's just so many things. And just to watch God work. And I've seen women with tears streaming down their face, just cry out to God and say, God, help me. Help me. I can't do this alone. And God always shows up. He always shows up. And it's just so beautiful to see when we turn our lives to Christ and we let him, he brings life and life abundantly for us and for our children, and brings amazing love into our lives. It's just a beautiful work. So I just encourage anybody who's doing that work, keep at it, keep going. God has plans you don't even know yet. It's a beautiful work.
Oh, wow. So Faye, as you've been in this work for a while, based on Psalms 23, what are your green pastures and still waters? Like, how does God restore your soul in a way that is just exactly what you need? What story comes to mind when I say that?
Yes. So it's important to take that daily time with the Lord, that quiet time to hear his still small voice, to spend time in the word, because God will bring that back up, and God restores our soul through his word. Also through praise. You know, the harder the times are, the more I turn up praise music and in my home and praise the Lord, and also have fellowship with other believers who are also walking the walk, and that's really important. And also taking time for even vacations. That's the hardest thing for me. And I'm still trying to learn balance. It's hard because I work really long hours. I work almost all the time. And to let myself take time off, be with family, have those important events, because God wants us to have life too.
Yeah. So Faye, tell us about the Choose magazine and the work that you're doing there in Colorado, around the Choose magazine when it comes to the ballot work or the political work.
Yes. So it's so important that we match our educational efforts with our policy. They need to match because that's consistent messaging. Otherwise, people get confused when there's a disconnect there. Anybody gets confused. So obviously, our goal, first of all, is to pray, and secondly, to inform. And so the Choose magazine is one of the ways we're informing. We also have a website, gotaheart.org. And people can go there. We have latest research, latest news. I write a blog. A lot of people sign up for that and look at that. And then the Choose magazine, I basically pulled from some of the things that were on our website, put them together so it's a nice, handy resource, gives you all the arguments you need to talk to someone about why someone should choose life. Number one, the humanity of the child. These are little babies from our first moment of conception when fireworks of light celebrate our conception, celebrate that a new human being is formed. From that very first moment, we're completely human and alive, complete in our one first single cell. And so then, and by 5 days when we implant, we're hundreds of organized cells. There's nothing chaotic about it. And then we communicate with our mothers in ways that scientists don't fully understand. But at day five, we're already communicating with our mom, hey, we're here, we're here. And so by 21 days, we have a detectable heartbeat. By 34 days, we have detectable brain waves. By 7 weeks, we will move away from touch to our face. And actually, in watching ultrasounds of abortions, babies this young will move away from those abortion instruments and try to get away as early as 7 to 9 weeks. So these are little babies with faces and fingers and toes and heartbeats and so much love to give and so much to bring into the world. And so just understanding the humanity of children and like talking to moms, like when I would talk to moms at the pregnancy center, talk to them about their son or their daughter, talk to them about their baby. That's their baby, just humanizing that child. So the Choose magazine starts with humanizing the child, showing fetal development. And then it goes into the tragedy and trauma of taking the lives of these innocent little babies. That harms everybody involved. That harms mama, daddy, our communities, our society as a whole. We are missing people that God knew we needed that are not here today. We're missing leaders. We're missing scientists. We're missing doctors and their children and their children after them. And so really talking about the tragedy of poisoning, scalding, dismembering children, it's horrible. It's not okay. If you wouldn't treat a two-year-old that way, don't treat a two-month-old in the womb that way, because that's the same child with the same face, the same personality, the same future, their whole life ahead of them, only one life. And if a mama cannot care for her baby, you know, it's okay to love your baby and place your baby in a loving home. And you can even choose the parents you want to raise your baby by going through a modern adoption agency. You can also go to extended family and go through an attorney. It's free for bio mom to go through a modern adoption agency. And a lot of these will even help with expenses. They'll help provide even professional counseling a lot of times to help mom out. And so after the humanity of the child that the Choose magazine shows, and then the tragedy and trauma that abortion causes anyone who's involved with that, lastly, what are the resources available for mamas? And there's pregnancy care centers that can offer up to everything a mama needs to bring baby home, and parenting classes and maybe even prenatal classes to help mama bond with that baby and know how to take care of their baby. And then there's modern adoption agencies, and then churches. Churches oftentimes get overlooked, but church is a great place to provide that. I've seen churches provide baby showers to give mom rides to doctor's appointments, give mom rides to Bible studies, and also just wrap their love around other children who are in the home and to help that mama grow spiritually. And I found that anytime we connected a mom with a local church, she did much, much, much better. She did really, really well in carrying her baby to birth and in growing as an individual. So that Choose magazine brings all this up. And it's really important to have this information, because when it comes time to vote, when it comes time to sign your name on the dotted line and say, you know, let's get signatures for this initiative in the state, you have the information you need to talk to other people about it.
Wow.
So one of the other things that we like to do with this podcast is try and highlight new ideas. And so what could you, what might other pro-life people in other states glean from your experience there in Colorado when it comes to working with churches and working in the political space? What might other people glean from that? Or what would you like to share that may not be commonly known or might be helpful?
Wonderful question. So a couple things. One is, nationally, We are in a very unique time where we have a conservative president, Congress, and Supreme Court. We need to take advantage of that. We need to stop playing defense and start playing offense. We've played defense for 50 years. It's time to bring on the offense team and get the job done. We can see the goal. Let's get it over there. We actually have a federally protected right to life in the United States Constitution. It is actually in law. We just need to enforce it. And so we need the executive branch, such as President Trump, to be another Abraham Lincoln and put out there an Emancipation Proclamation for these children and say, we're going to stop killing our children. We already have a shortage of babies in this country. We have 36 people waiting to adopt a baby for every one baby available. We know that our population has been declining. It needs to grow. We need babies. And the answer is not IVF. The answer is let's stop killing the ones God's already sending us. And so we need to protect these children from the moment that they're conceived. That's the only logical, anything else is arbitrary. If you're a living human being, you should not be excluded from the right to life. You are a person that needs to be protected under our U.S. Constitution. So nationally, I would say, first of all, I would, for those who can, please talk to the president, talk to the vice president, as well as our Congress. And now is the time. Today is the day of salvation, and it's always the right time to do the right thing. And we need to stop self-limiting. We need to stop limiting ourselves and ask for what we want to ask for, because we're not going to get what we don't ask for. And if we don't stand up for the precious lives of these children, who else will? So that's number one, is on a national level for those who have those contacts, those who have that voice. Number one, and what a great year to do that. 250th anniversary of our country. It was founded on the idea that all men are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So here's the perfect time to protect these children. So that's on a national level. Secondly, on a state level, my goodness, let's stop keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Oh my goodness, let's welcome new ideas, new ways of doing things, and new people. Let's embrace the young people. They say things differently, they do things differently. That's okay. There's a lot of young people standing for life, and we need to be online. We need to be communicating and speaking loudly. And we need to combine that with working in faith, not only standing up and voicing, but working in that same faith. We pray and we work hard, because if we cannot adjust our policy to our educational efforts, people are confused. I know in the state of Colorado, and this is something other states can learn from, and I was a part of this. I had to repent of it. So in the state of Colorado, we were educating everyone that a baby is alive from the moment that a child is conceived. But then we tried to put forward law that compromised, that allowed children still to die, but said, well, let's at least protect some, right? So let's try to protect those in late term, from late term abortions. And that's a little easier, right? Because everyone knows these children are being tortured to death. Now, they're actually being tortured to death all 9 months, but, you know, let's save some. Well, that sounded reasonable. That made sense. But what happened was, it was disconnecting our actions from our words. And you've heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. Well, there was a lady that said, you know what, I aborted my child because I wasn't in the third trimester yet, and my church was talking about stopping late-term abortion. So I thought anything prior to that was okay. So that's actually an evil law, because God hates unjust law. He judges nations that have unjust laws in how we treat the least of these, right? So the youngest and the most vulnerable. So we're saying that any child can die. for political expediency or because it's going to be easier, whatever reason, we ourselves are participating in child sacrifice. We ourselves are saying we're going to sacrifice this child or these younger children for these older children. And that is evil in God's sight. And we really need to repent of that. I have to repent of that. We need to repent of that individually, as a family, as a community. No child. We cannot sacrifice any child. We have to put forth law that the policy is consistent with our educational efforts, that all children are living and human from the moment they're conceived. And if they are, then let's act like it. Let's put forward law that acts like these are the same children who are 2-year-olds and 5-year-olds, because they are.
Yeah. And I think that's one of those arguments or the positions that's it's difficult because, you know, the pro-lifers that I know would love to see abortion outlawed or abolished, but then we have to work with people who don't agree with us. And sometimes we try and save as many lives as possible with the, you know, by promoting a bill that will make abortion illegal after so many weeks. But we would at the same time, the option to sign the bill that says all abortion is should be illegal is not on the table. What are your thoughts on that? Like when it comes to the ideal thing you'd like to sign off on isn't something that is available to sign, for to pass.
Yeah. So let's put it on the table. Why is it not on the table? Because we're not putting it there. And we're supposed to be the pro-life leaders. So let's put it on the table so people have that option, because there are a lot of people who will vote for that. And it makes sense. It's just logical. You know, when the U.S. Constitution says, and there is a resolution that I am trying to put before President Trump, I hope he'll make it a declaration, and we're trying to put forward in the Republican Party platform as well. It's just logical. When the U.S. Constitution says that no one will be deprived of life without due process of law, and we know it's a biological fact that we are living human beings from the moment we're conceived. 96% of embryologists agree on that. So it's a biological fact.
Yeah.
And we should not discriminate against any person from the U.S. Constitution. And that if we're a living human being, we should not discriminate that any living human being is not a person under the law. That's discriminatory. Therefore, let's protect everyone from the moment that we're conceived. Every living human being should be protected. And so let's put that on the table. Let's stop settling for crumbs. Let's ask for what we really want. Because I hear all the time, well, I really want that, but I really want that, but. Well, if you really want that, guess what? Everybody I talk to really wants that. So if everyone who really wants it, we'll go for it. Let's go for the goal. Let's go for what, you know, you're not going to reach your goal if you never go for it. So go for that. That's part of being on the offense now. We have an opportunity. This is post-Roe. This is not, Roe's no longer in effect. God literally aligned the stars 49 years after the horrible decision of Roe, and it was overturned, and God gets the credit and the glory for that. And God gets the credit and the glory when we as God's people do what he's asked us to do. Thou shalt not murder is a command. It's not a suggestion. It doesn't say unless it's a child in the womb. It doesn't say unless someone is developmentally less than you are, or someone, like, there's no excuses for that. Thou shalt not murder. And so God's law is perfect. And when we align our civil law to God's law, we have a law that doesn't harm humanity. And so we just need to get it on the table and stop. I know it sounds logical and reasonable and all that kind of stuff, but today's the day, now's the time. And we need to act, because God's judgment is real. He obliterates nations off this planet who participate in child sacrifice of any kind. You can see it with Aztecs. You can see it in the Old Testament. God judges nations, and we need to repent, and not just for some children, but all the children that God specifically is telling us to rescue, those being dragged to slaughter. And today is the day of salvation. And so, and that's where God comes in, right? God always asks us to do what with man it's impossible, But with God, all things are possible. If it were possible with our own ingenuity and how clever we are and all that kind of stuff, what fun is that? But we get to align with God, who he is the God of the impossible. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. He's the one that raises a man from the dead, his own son. So God is the God of the possible, and it's possible. It's all possible. We just have to catch the vision and start going that way. And that's why, too, I think it's really up to the church. It's up to the body of Christ. Pro-life secular organizations can be helpful. They can help inform, and they can come alongside the church. But ultimately, it's the pastor in the pulpit who's preaching on this. It's the church congregation who's doing this, not just throwing money at political organizations, and also not taking advice from political organizations. Those are secular organizations, which means that some are listening to Christ and doing it God's way, right? But there are some people too that are listening to the God of this world, and the God of this world is not going to tell us how to stop child sacrifice and defeat evil. Only God knows how to defeat evil, and he's shown us how to do it. And so for those of us who know Christ and are listening to the Holy Spirit and are reading God's word and seeing his plan for defeating evil, we need to take the lead. We need to stop following public opinion, and we need to lead public opinion. We need to change public opinion, and we need to actually lead, and instead of it, this is not a political issue, to go downstream from culture. We can lead culture with policy, just like an example, Roe v. Wade. Prior to that, abortion was primarily unthinkable. But at the passing of Roe v. Wade, suddenly policy led public opinion. Suddenly policy led culture. We need to do the same thing and the opposite and lead public opinion with policy that this is wrong and this is right and this is what we need to do.
Yeah. It seems like the abolitionists who will sometimes attack the pro-life movement. Well, they do attack the pro-life movement, and they will say things like, we have to, you know, only pass the law that abolishes all abortion and not to do anything in between. What are your thoughts on, and then they, at the same time, they're attacking the groups who are working to save as many children as possible.
So what you're seeing is incrementalists, versus, yeah, you know, incrementalism. So I think the days of incrementalism are gone. That was during Roe. We're past that now. We can go for the goal. We can see the goal. And that should be for everybody, not just abolitionists, but pro-life people as well. For those who want to abolish abortion, that's what abolition is, right? The abolitionists abolish slavery, or abolitionists abolishing abortion. For all those who want to do that, who want to protect all of our children, my goodness, let's go for it. We've already got laws in place that should stop the abortion pill entering any state because of the Comstock Clause. We have the U.S. Constitution by the 5th and 14th Amendments that already say that no person shall be denied life without due process of law. So we already have a federally protected right that if we just enforce, it's already there. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already in the DNA of our country to have life, have the right to life. Because if these innocent children are not protected, you and I are not protected. If it's the same document that protects your and my right to continue living that protects them, it's the same document. And so if any group of individuals are excluded from the right to life, it's really concerning who the next will be. And we kind of know who the next will be. So we've got to stand up for them for sure. Did that answer your question?
It did. And it seems like, you know, if abortion is wrong, it should be federally wrong in every single state. But yet here we are with, in some states, it is outlawed or illegal or wrong. And in some states, they're promoting it with marketing budgets to bring people from other states to have an abortion. And so we have a state by state case, you know, with like, yeah, Texas and Florida on one side and California, New York and Washington on in Illinois on the other. And then we have some states that are in the middle. Yeah, I just sometimes I feel exhausted trying to keep up with, you know, all these different, you know, it was a lot to under row, but now it feels like there's probably three different camps or five different camps, and, you know, with extreme camps and ones in the middle, and it's hard to know, you know, the status of a given state.
Well, it's following the same pattern of slavery, right? Because it was given to the states first before it went national. So the pattern of slavery was, it was left up to the states until it had to be resolved nationally. And we're going to see the same thing with protecting these children. This is worse than slavery. This is a Holocaust. This is a worse Holocaust than the Holocaust that went on in Germany, because we have 10 times the number of innocents being killed in the American Holocaust. It's called under the term abortion. And this is why I don't even like to use the term abortion. It's a death word, for one thing. And we want to speak life. We want to speak the seeds of life that we want to reap. So we need to start speaking life, protecting children, speaking life. And then that word is so misunderstood and misused. There's a spontaneous abortion, which is really a miscarriage. Well, the child has already died. There's no longer a heartbeat. You can use a DNC, DNE, but you're removing a child who's not feeling any pain. They've already died. You're not ending their life. And that gets so confused. As soon as you start talking about abortion, people start confusing it with miscarriage. No one's talking about miscarriage. Everyone's talking about an induced abortion where the child is living. And if just left alone, the child will continue to live. It's a natural process a natural process for women and for, you know, for the mother and for the baby. That's healthy for the mama to be pregnant. That's healthy for that baby to be in the womb. That baby's not threatening anybody. And we can always try for best outcomes of all babies. And so they need protected. And I think what's missing is that we need to raise the banner of truth so people can find it. Because when you have some people saying one thing and some people saying another, people just get confused and they don't know what to believe. So we just need to speak the truth. We all know the truth. So let's just all speak it. That's consistent messaging. And that way people know where to find it and what the truth is. And the truth is, these are living human beings, our youngest and smallest children who deserve protection. All living human beings deserve protection. And that's what we're trying to do, is protect these children. And if we're all for it, then let's say we're all for it, and let's support each other. And get it done. Go for the goal.
Yeah. And we do live in a unique time where, with our current government, President Trump, Republicans in Congress and the Senate, and the Supreme Court, you're right. This is the time. This is a very unique time. We may not have another window like this for decades, if ever.
Right. Absolutely. We have a very brief window of time. And again, knowing the character of God, that he raises up nations and pulls down nations, and he's given us, I believe God has given us this, it's like a year window. It's very small in the whole history of America. In 250 years, we have this year window where we're either going to choose life or we're going to choose death. And if we choose death for these babies, we're choosing death for ourselves, and our culture and our society as a whole will crumble. We have to get life right. If we cannot get life right, we will not get anything else right. And we will deserve the judgment of God. And I am praying for God's mercy. And this is a part of God's mercy, giving us a chance to do the right thing, choose life, so that we and our descendants will live.
That's good. Well, thank you, Faye, so much for being on here. As we close things out, what are your final thoughts? And I'd like to ask you to pray at the end here, but what are your final thoughts before we close out?
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I just want to encourage everybody out there, like, thank you for what you're doing to protect preborn children and love on their mothers. And my goodness, everybody can do something. And we need everybody involved to do something. Maybe it's speaking at your church or praying in your church or leading a Bible study or, you know, preaching from the pulpit. We need that black robe regiment back, right? To lead from the pulpit and lead in the way we should go. And so contact your senators and your representatives and the president and both on a state and national level and let's get this done. And those people of influence, don't limit yourself anymore. Don't limit yourself anymore. There's no limit. Go for the, you might be the one to carry that football across the goal line. So take it and run, run as far as you can. Ask for the ask. Don't limit yourself. Ask for what you really want. If you really want to protect all children in the womb, then say that. Say what you want. Don't be ashamed. We're on the right side of history. We're on the right side. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage everybody out there and those doing pregnancy center work. Thank you for being out there. You're awesome. We love you and just appreciate you so much. And anyone's welcome to come to gotaheart.org. Use anything on the website. Use anything from Choose Magazine. There's a church toolkit on there, news resources, my blogs. You can even, you know, take the words off the page and use them. And let's start changing the way we think and the way that we speak. And let's repent of this Holocaust that's happened on our watch. Let's repent before God, get our hearts right with the Lord, and follow him and his plan and do things God's way, because that's the only way that's going to work.
So until we have a federal law protecting children in the womb from being killed, what are your thoughts on state work?
Yes. So every one of the abortion amendments in every state that has them are totally unconstitutional. I would love to see some attorneys get some courage and start suing these states, because those are unconstitutional against those children. Every time a child is killed in the womb, you're violating that child's right to life. And so all of those are unconstitutional. State work, we need to stop doing the things that aren't working in other states, stop modeling off of other states that don't work, and start, again, speaking the truth, putting forward initiatives that protect all lives so that people start hearing it. The good thing about that, when you start saying, we're going to protect all life, beginning when we began at conception, when those fireworks of light flash and new life begins, when we start saying that, people are hearing it. We don't have to go back and re-educate them. Okay, now we're protecting a different set of children, or now we're, you don't have to re-educate them. And that grows momentum, because once people hear the truth, they can never unhear it again. And so once people know the truth, they'll stand there and they'll tell other people. And if everybody will just tell two or three people, we can cover these states and we can get these life initiatives before people. I know for us, we're going to need people out there once we finally get through the state to be able to sign these signatures and change this constitution to match the U.S. Constitution. And it begins in the womb. Prior to 1967, everybody, the states basically protected children. People were protected in all of our history. And the Constitution was intended to protect all human life. It wasn't meant to exclude anyone. And so in the states, keep working hard while also contacting on a national level.
Yeah, it strikes me as so bizarre that when someone's asked when life begins, that there's so many answers, but yet 96% of embryologists will agree that it starts at the moment of conception, when the sperm enters the egg, and we have, you know, now cell division begins, mm-hmm. or there's that spark of life beginning. But when someone says when life begins, you know, some people answer completely wrong, like at their birthday, or at so many weeks, or when the brain waves or the heart begins to be measured. But that doesn't make sense. You know, life begins when you have an egg that, you know, is fertilized with sperm, and then cell division and growth takes place. And unless you stop that growth, it will continue to that birthday and on. But yeah, so that's interesting. That almost maybe those laws have created, you know, that messaging has created where people actually think life begins at X weeks, which is not true at all.
Exactly, exactly. The moment we begin our first complete cell, nothing will be added to us except time, nutrition, and oxygen for growth. And by every definition of human life, we are fully living and fully human from that moment of our first complete cell. When two half cells, two gametes combine, those two half cells combine and form our one complete cell. And if we were to find that one first complete cell on any other planet like Mars, we'd say we found human life. So we need to know we found human life here on Earth. And it's no mystery. It's a biological fact and it's a theological fact, right? Because Jesus came at the moment of conception is where our Lord entered humanity. So he went through all the developmental stages that we do. And each of us was conceived, right? So we can have empathy for our younger brothers and sisters in the human race who are now in the womb and they just want to live. They just want to live. They just want to have a kiss on their face and their mama hold them in their blanket. And even if they don't last very long, even if they're expected to die at birth, they can die a quiet, peaceful birth. They don't have to be tortured to death. And that's what abortion does. It tortures children to death. And we just need to stop it. And what does scripture say? It doesn't say gradually stop doing evil. It says, no, cease doing evil and learn to do good. We're really hard at learning to do good, but we know how we can cease to do evil. Repent means turn around, go in a different direction, stop that direction, turn around completely. And I just pray that God gets a hold of every one of our hearts like he has mine. I had to repent. I thought I was like one of the most pro-life people I knew. And God wrecked me, like in a good way. I wrestled with him like all night long when I was getting ready to do this initiative. And first we're going to have a late term, then we're going to have a heartbeat. And then a volunteer at the pregnancy center came up to me and started talking to me about this. And I was really mad at her at first. And that's usually a sign of conviction, by the way. And so then she gave me something to read and I started reading. I just wrestled all night until God showed me. And I don't even know how to explain it, but it's like, I wasn't pro-life enough. And I don't even like to use that term anymore either, pro-life, because it means absolutely nothing. I know people who call themselves pro-life and people who call themselves pro-choice, and they believe exactly the same thing. You have protect all children on one end, you have kill whoever you want on the other, and then you have all the people in the middle who are going one direction or the other, and they might be passing at the same point, but one of them's going towards death and one of them's going towards life, and they can call themselves whatever they want. So really, it's all about protecting children, protecting the youngest and most vulnerable children among us, the least of these that, I don't know, may have something to do with the sheep and the goats.
Yeah. There's a lot of false beliefs that are lies, and almost as if people have like political blinders on for what they're looking at, because they answer questions not based on science or truth or just simply having fresh eyes. They answer based on political rhetoric in some cases, and it's really hard to get past that wall of false belief / political lens.
They're slogans. The other side has great slogans. My body, my choice, right? You know, whatever. They have great slogans. We have the truth. We don't have as great slogans. You know, like every child deserves a birthday. Every child is worth saving. We can start there. But a lot of times we're talking to someone else on the other side, they just have things they've been told that they regurgitate. And you have to get past it. Like, why do you believe that? Where does that come from? And look at the science. I look at theology, look at the truth. In our elementary school classes, for 100 years, we have 100-year-old drawings of, quote, fetuses in textbooks that are wrong. So our children in public school are being taught wrong. And so we're very countercultural, because first of all, we're teaching all our children the wrong stuff, and then we expect them to somehow believe the right stuff. So we tell them, you know, they evolved from slime and they're just animals and there's no self-control and all of that. And then here's these little drawings. You look like a little tadpole. And that's just not true. We need to get those things out of our textbooks, start speaking the truth in our medical schools, in our seminaries, to our children in public schools. We have to get the truth out there, and we have to speak consistently.
That's good. Well, Faye, thank you so much for being on here. As we would you close this out with a prayer, and with the expectation that those who are listening will try and join in?
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. You are such a good God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Heavenly Father, you raise up nations and you tear others down and you raise up. I just ask, Father, that you tear down this stronghold in our country of child sacrifice, God, with every child sacrifice is an act of idolatry on health, self, or wealth. And so, Lord, I pray for those mamas right now who are carrying children. And Lord, you talk about not sacrificing your children. These are your children, God. You are creating these babies in your image. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll protect those mamas, help them love their babies to life, help them choose life, Father, for their children. I know so many mamas love their babies and they get coerced or manipulated or pressured by doctors and husbands and family members and parents to lose that it's somehow going to be better if they end the life of their child. God, I just pray, Father, you bring truth into their life. And I ask, Father, that you help us speak truth. Help us, Lord, plant the seeds of life, Lord, that we want to reap. You promise, Lord, that we will reap if we do not grow weary. So help us, Lord, to continue to reap what we want to harvest. Help us to sow words of truth and life and love into the lives of everyone around us, Father. I pray, Father, for the pro-life leaders in this country. I know there's so much confusion out there, and I know there's so many people who want to do good, and they just don't know what it is. And so, or they think they do, God. And I know, God, that we can have blinders on our eyes and our ears and not even know it. So, Lord, help us seek you. Help us to draw into you, Father, and look for your strategies and your ways that you've written in an ancient book, Lord, that is alive and active today. And so, Heavenly Father, we just want to give you all praise and glory and honor for everything you do and not take any credit whatsoever, Lord, when you change the tide of this culture and when you change the laws and when you do miraculous things, because we need you, God. You are the God of the possible. There is nothing impossible with you. And so, Father, you're the vine with the branches. We just want to be plugged into you, Lord, and that you would speak through us, that your Holy Spirit would speak through us, that we would not listen to the enemy of life or the God of this age, God, that will not tell people how to end child sacrifice. Help us listen to you, Father, and stay true to you. I pray for these babies, Lord. Please protect them. Please hold them in your care. I ask, Father, that you close all the death facilities across this land, God, that you will close them down, that workers will walk off the job and they will be no more. And in just a short time, people will look back and say, what were we thinking? How could we have ever done that to our children, to our own children, to our offspring, to our sons and daughters? God, forgive us. We repent. Repent for ourselves, for our families, our communities, our churches, our state and our nation, God. For we have not honored you. And we have become a wicked people where we have sacrificed children on the altar of convenience and political expediency, on reputation, God, every reason under the sun, and we are wrong, and we have been wrong, and we ask your forgiveness and your mercy, Lord. And I ask, Father, in this brief window of time that you've given us, I thank you for that. I ask, Father, in this time that we will rise up, especially the body of Christ, people who know you, Father, personally as their Savior, will rise up, God, and make a difference and be loud and be a voice for the voiceless, Lord, because the only voice they have is ours. So help us, Lord, speak for the children and help us, Lord, to be good ambassadors for you, on that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we commit these efforts to you. We love you, and we'll be very, very careful to give you all praise and all glory and all honor, because we know it's not us doing it. It's your work through us. I pray for this nation, God. I pray that we'll come back to you and that we will once again value life and the right to life that our founders intended, that we'll come back to that, that you will move in President Trump and Pence and all those in places of authority, God, that we would return to you. And it's in the precious name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Of your body, harnessing your desire, freedom glows like an ember as a slave to the cross. Saw grace light the heavens, blazing down to my soul. Burn deep into me your purity and light. Burn deep into me your passion and your might, fire of eternity. I've been forgiven, I've been given life. Freedom glows like an ember as a slave to the Christ. Burn deep into me your purity and light. Burn deep into me your passion and given, I've been given.